that there will not be a shiur next week of Hanukkah. The masses, namely my wife, have demanded that there be a shiur. And
that's a good mass.
It's a good mass, yeah. But I understand that there's a reflects the sentiments of many other people. Also, the next 2 weeks after that, I also will be getting shiur because I'll be in Chutz Laretz. So we'll be off for 3 weeks. Next week, the week after that, the week after that. Okay, so we'll resume January 19th. I also like to correct two things that I stated in last week's shiur. Not correct, I'd like to add upon them. One has to do with the quotation I made about from Rav Moshe Soloveitchik, Rav Yeshua Zatzal's father. What he actually said, after when I reconstructed what he said it in a much cuter fashion. What he said was, when someone asks me a question, says Rav Moshe, someone asks me a question, he enjoys it and I enjoy it. He enjoys it because he asked a good question. And I enjoy it because I gave a good answer. But when he asks a question of my son, only my son enjoys it. Because he proves that the question never began in the first place. That's what we're doing. Okay, now, last week we also dealt at great length with the question of oaths. And the question was raised, what about Kol Nidre? At which point I said that I sort of hemmed and hawed and said something to the effect that Kol Nidre really doesn't do anything. And I saw many eyebrows go up, and I saw that people really weren't happy with what I had to say. So, what I decided to do for the next 15, 20 minutes is to go off on a digression, because it's really relevant to what we discussed last week, and talk about Kol Nidre. And I'd like to, I know it's not really the right thing to do in the middle of December, but I think it's very, very appropriate, and it's really, really quite fascinating. And we have here a page of Larry McComb with the salient sources. You should know that Kol Nidre is very, very old. People said Kol Nidre started with the Muranos, they took oaths, you know, to become Christians, and they felt that the Kol Nidre would nullify. It's not true. Kol Nidre started already it's known, the Gaonim talk about it, it's around in the 8th, the 9th century, way before any of this stuff began. And Kol Nidre was said the way many of you probably said it in the Golos, not the way that's what we say here. Kol Nidre, the Surrey, that I took oath, from Yom Kippur Mishavah, and Yom Kippur Mishavah. From last Yom Kippur to this Yom Kippur. And it sounds like a real nullification of oaths. When the question came up in the time of the Gaonim, okay, again we're talking about the 8th, 9th century, through the 10th century, there was tremendous, tremendous resistance. The Gaonim said, yes, this is a custom of the Sfaradim, it's a custom that did start in Spain, but we don't do it here in Babylon, and it's wrong. It's wrong for people to make light of their sins, I think they can just say some text and get it rid of, and we take oaths very, very seriously, and it's usher to say. That's what they said, it's usher to say. And what was the problem? What were the problems they were raising? Now we're going to sort of jump in the middle, and we'll sort of backtrack. But the issues that are bothering the Gaonim and are discussed by Rabbeinu Tam in Tosfot, the source number one. Okay, he gives you five things that bothered him about saying Kol Nidre. Okay, so let's start from the beginning. Mitoch Shmatim, from this Gemara, we'll see what the Gemara is, and we'll come back to the Gemara. Mitoch Shmatim, Mochek Rabbeinu Tam, Mochek Rabbeinu Tam, eliminated מה שכתוב במחזורים בכל נדרי מיום כיפורים שעבר עד יום כיפורים הבא לערב טובה. Okay? Or what we say מיום כיפורים זה. Rabbeinu Tam took out the past tense implication of the Kol Nidre. Why? Usvurim hem because when they recite this text, people think shematirim nedarim mishana shavra, because they think they're nullifying oaths for the past year. V'to'in, says Rabbi Tam, they're wrong. Why? And he gives several reasons. Chada, v'chol atarat nedarim bay charata. When you come to be matuned, now normally where how's atarat nedarim? You either come to what's called one rav mumche, an expert. And I don't want to go into the definition of how he's made a mumcha, or three hadyota, nowadays we're called three hadyota, court, and you say, listen, I did the following thing, I took up an oath, or I did a mitzvah, and I didn't, when I took the oath, I didn't take into consideration the following things, and I'm really sorry I took the oath, I'd like you to know that. That's an expression of charata, for a specific reason. That goes back, that when I took my oath originally, I didn't take in consideration this thing. That's a minimal of what you need. You don't give any reasons. You don't say why you're sorry. You said, call it Rashi, null and void. V'og, d'bay yachid mumcha shloshay yotot. Need a court, right? What do you have effectively in Kol Nidre? You have everybody saying Kol Nidre together. The custom is the Chazan says it aloud, and the Kol listens attentively. At least the Halacha says you should say it silently, quietly with the Chazan. But at least it's a Shomer Ka'onet. You're listening to what the Chazan's saying. You're hanging on every word, sort of like a Shomer Ka'onet. And you don't have that. You don't have a court standing in front of you. Now, it's true, the way we now do Kol Nidre is we have at least a chazan and two other people standing by inside because we're trying to respond to Rabbeinu Tam's criticism. But you remember, the people on the bima are also saying Kol Nidre. Right? Everybody's saying Kol Nidre together. It's not as if there's a court sitting there listening to your complaints. Right? That's Rabbeinu Tam is really right. V'od shalachak Rav Papa, alasak Rav Papa, to who batra that he is the, well, the latter generation. We usually pass him like the latter generation of the Amoraim. D'amar perak shaleach, sorech lefaret haneder. You have to say particularly what neder you're dealing with. V'anan lo binacha. You don't say what neder you took upon yourself. You just say kol nidre. V'od. The neder atzma, iafshar lo matir. What is this business? Says Kol Nidre. I say this text, and therefore I matter my own neder. I can't be matter my own neder. Somebody else has to be matter my neder. So what is my saying Kol Nidre help to be my matter my neder? So those are the halachic attacks of Rabbeinu Tam on this perception of Kol Nidre as Hatarat Nedarim. Now, turn the page. We'll come back to this. Mikrei Kodesh is written, this is from the Mikrei Kodesh of Harari's book. Harari is from Merkez Arav. He's become one of the up-and-coming poskim. He writes, collects and books, collects Shitot and written some excellent texts. That I'm bringing him because he cites a Nemuke Yosef. That is one response to these attacks of the Rabbeinu Tam was to say, you're right, Kol Nidre is nothing. Let's see what he says inside. Okay, where it's marked off two, start where that T is. We'll come back to this guy. Hinei herani chacham echad, says Rav Arai, one scholar showed me את מה שכתב הנימוק יוסף במסכת נדרים, שלפי המנהג, ולפי נוסח הלשון, which talks in the past tense, ולפי הכתוב בסדר אברהם המזל, אין אמירת כל נדרי, לא דרך התרת נדרים, it's not releasing me from vows, הקודמים, ולא דרך תנאים לנדרים העתידים, nor is it a condition of future oaths, we'll talk about this in a second, אלא שאומרים, כן, דרך תפילה לקדוש ברוך הוא. It's a prayer לקדוש ברוך הוא. That's all it is. Which is the shita I mentioned. It's a prayer לקדוש ברוך הוא. What's a prayer? שלא ייכשלו ולא יענשו על הנדרים על השבועות. We as Jews take oaths very, very seriously. We don't take God's name in vain. We, the pasuk says, מוצא שפתיך תשמוע God, what your mouth says. And as a result, we pray to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, look, somewhere through the year I may have sinned. And I don't know what the neder I may have taken. So I pray to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, please forgive me for any sins that I've taken. Just as Klal Yisrael on earth, right, is saying, it's all right, it's all right. You in heaven should also say, it's all right, it's all right. שלא יקושלו ולא יענשו על הנדרים ועל השבועות שעשו בשנה שעברה. ויהיו שביטים ושביקים לפניו יפרח כי לא יהיו. They're going to be annulled and nullified as if they never were. וזה שנהגו לומר לבסוף. And that's why right after כל נדרי we say ונסלח לכל עדת ישראל. That's why we say ונסלח לכל עדת ישראל. שם שפגיב כל עדת ישראל. Why do we say that? The reason why it's part of Kol Nidrei is because, says the Nukei Yosef, this is a prayer that Hashem forgive us, should forgive us for oath violation, and we say, Hashem and the past has forgiven Jews, v'nislach l'chol avodat b'reis Yisrael. The kofenoto der avidui b'tzibur, and we go over it three times. Why? Because we do yim, we do three times. Okay, that's one approach. This approach is also mentioned in the Golem, I think, of Haidu. So that's one approach to Kol Nidrei. It's nothing. It's merely a prayer. It's a prayer to start off the day of prayers. However, Rabbi Natan disagrees. Turn back to the other side. Rabbi Natan disagrees. What does Rabbi Natan say? Rabbi Natan bases himself on a Gemara Bavli. Okay, number three. The Gemara says as follows. V'harotze shelo yitkaimu nedarav kol hashana. He who doesn't want his oaths to be a nedarim binding, yamod b'rosh hashana, should stand out at the beginning of the year, v'yomar, kol neder shani atid lido, yehei patel. Any oath that I should make, I want you to, I'm telling you in advance, when I say oath, I don't mean oath. I mean, I'll do my best. It's not a neder. I'm telling you now. Ubelvad, Ubelvad she'zachur b'shat ha'neder. That's provided that he remembers this condition when he makes the neder. So the Gemara asks, Izachur, if he remembers this condition that he made in Rosh Hashanah, when he makes the neder later on, it's exactly the opposite. Exactly the opposite. I remembered my condition and I go ahead and make the oath anyway. That nullifies the condition. Okay, the tnai v'kiyem le'na nidre. He's uprooting his condition and he's confirming his oath. Amar Abaye, tnai, what he means to say, ubelvad shelo yehi zachur b'shat neder. It is, if I go ahead and make an oath, and somebody says, but you just said, you just made a tnai, right? Just made a condition. He's not making the neder anyway. There, the neder counts because you remembered your condition. But if I go ahead and do something without remembering, then the condition helps. Then the condition helps. Because I said in advance, whenever I say neder, I really don't mean neder. Okay. We haven't finished it, right? Well, we'll see. We'll see. The story's not over. We still have to go more, okay? There's a lot more. What do you mean? If I make an oath to you, or make an oath in court, it doesn't count. Is that what? And by the way, one of the reasons why the government fought so much against Comindre is because people saw Taka. From here on in, I don't have to worry about anything else. I just nullify them, it's gone, it's finished. And it's clearly not that. That's why the Comindre, that's why they said Comindre is a bad idea. Not only is it halakhically improper, it's a bad idea. Okay, let's continue. So let's see what Rabbeinu Tam did. Rabbeinu Tam is now learned that Comindre is not annulment of the oath, because he gave you the five, the reasons why he doesn't say it's not, there's no harata, there's no court. By the way, other reasons, you do the anyantif. You don't do hataras in the Durham anyantif, except if it's considered necessary for the yantif. Well, on that point, you can argue, because you can say, if I need kapara, so you can argue that being nullified later in yantif, but we try to do it before yantif. Okay, we'll see. Okay, we're going to start with the upside down T is right after the one there. Lechach nireh lo lagia. Therefore, the Rabbeinu Tam feels that the proper rendition should be as follows. Miyom kippurim zeh ad yom kippurim haba leinu l'tova. Rabbeinu Tam says, put the language, not in the past, because it's not hatarat mon nedarim. It's moda'a, or t'nai nedarim. It's in the future, says Rabbeinu Tam. V'nedarim shel shana ba'a, hu disharim. What we're nullifying, in effect, is oaths in the coming year. V'smach nedavar, and how do I know that this is what it should be? T'nai, because we had the Gemara we just read in nedarim. Harod se shalo yitkaimu nedarav. You should get up in Rosh Hashanah and make this nine. Right? I don't want to go into this particular point because that has to do with the Gemara. Va'afal gav de'omid adam b'Rosh Hashanah t'nan, even though the Gemara says you stand in Rosh Hashanah time. V'nan b'yom kippur v'navdinan, and we're doing this when Yom Kippur. Ashgren Yom Kippurim dike Rosh Hashanah. We find that Yom Kippurim is also part of the Rosh Hashanah concept. The Chtib Yecheskel Yecheskel says, the Rosh Hashanah, Basal HaChodesh, on the beginning of the year, on the 10th of the month. So you see that Rosh Hashanah doesn't mean a holiday called Rosh Hashanah, it could also mean in the beginning of the year. Va'amru d'zeo Yom HaKippurim d'yom, I'm referring to Yom HaKippurim. Va'od, Shu Samach Lo Rosh Hashanah. Why do they say Dafka do it Yom Kippur? Why Taki didn't they do it on Rosh Hashanah? Mishum Yom Kippurim, but tell me kol melachot. Because Yom Kippur, nobody has any melacha. V'ika knufi rabban ketuvah. And everybody comes to shul, they have nothing better to do. They can't cook. It's not like they really come rushing in for shofar blowing because they have to feed, they have to cook. Everybody comes to shul. So that's what we do with that. Okay, we'll skip down two lines.
Is he saying that it's the most important thing?
What?
He's saying it's the most important thing?
No, it's the most appropriate time to do. Mm-hmm. You should be matching it for everybody when you have everybody in shul. Call it a night. Right, there's nothing to do. There's no cooking to do. Everybody's eating, especially at night. Everybody's eating, everybody's finished. There's nothing better to do. So everybody comes to shul, so that's what you do. So you do this mass t'nai tradition. Now he says, "Mitam shavishonim to'im," and because the earlier generations made the mistake, usfurin shematirin nedarim shavu, that they thought you were nullifying previous oaths. Hayu omrim chutz mitakarot kilot shmuat deti. They would add, "Will be matir everything but." Oaths taken in court and oaths made by the community. But since we're not nullifying retroactively, but we're just putting a condition in for future oaths, we don't have to explicitly state it. Because all that Kol Nidre does is a condition, is nullify oaths that are between him and himself, between him and his maker. דבר שבין אדם לחברו, but always between you and your fellow, אין אדם יכול לתת, we can't know the fellow. ואחד האומרים, בכל נדרי, דין דרנא, there's a problem with the language now. Right? דין דרנא means that I, that I should adopt it. Right? The mashma shara, it sounds like that. Alma de mashma, the anu matirin, matirin shavu, that which passed, sounds like a tarat nedarin. Yishona din dana mashma shtei lishanot. It sounds both. Din dana doesn't mean necessarily shani, shani nadavi, era shani no dare. I mean, those are oaths. It's a past means it's a, see in Hebrew there's no progressive. Right, there's no progressive form. How do you say the progressive form? So I can say that which I owe, take oaths. Right, there's no passive forms. Shani no der means now. Din dana means that I have the want of make of taking. That's how you would say it. That I have the custom of taking. It's in the past tense. But din dana means a continuous present, something from the present, the past and the present. Okay. Now, okay, let's get down to the beginning, middle of the very long lines. Uma shenagu lomar achar kol nidrei v'nislach l'chol adat. And now what should we say? Forgiveness. We ask for forgiveness. Right? What are we asking forgiveness for? This is a condition on the future. What is this? What is this forgiveness? It's not relevant here. Zel l'faresh כשידור אדם מועיל ביטול ראש השנה, מוזרי, כשידור אדם לאחר מכן ולא יזכור לתנאי של ביטול דחון נדרי ויעבור על נדרו, הרי זה צריך כפרה וסליחה. אף אגב שאותו מבטל כאן שלא ידע כשעבר. אז יש לנו את זה. I take an oath. And I forgot that I had said it is not according to Rabbin Tamin called Nidra. I take an oath, I'm not going to drink water. Okay? And I go back, and you understand that I'm Yom Kippur, I said called Nidra. I made the Tanakh. Then I go ahead and I say, I'm taking an oath, I'm not going to drink water. I forgot my Tanakh. I said, I'm taking an oath, I'm not going to drink water. And then, 2 weeks later, I drink water. The halacha is that I'm I violated my oath. How are you going to tell me, but you made a t'nai? The t'nai only works when I remember. But when I violated that oath, I knew I violated an oath. Because my action was an act. My action was an action of violation. I violated. Not de jure. Not de jure. Not legally. But de facto, I made an oath not to drink, and I went ahead 2 weeks later, and I said, I'm going to drink. Right? And at that point, there was an act of rebellion. I went ahead and drank. Right? I rebelled. I said, I'm not going to drink, and then I went ahead and drank.
So it's intentional.
So I need kapara, not because I violated my oath. Because I didn't violate. There was no oath in the first place. Because I made it not. I need kapara for the
Then
there's no merit because there's no rebellion because at that point you said there's no neder. I'm not drinking because I'm filing my neder. I'm drinking because there is no neder. There ain't no problem. That's what he says. Okay, that's Rabbi Natan. Let's now see Shulchan Aruch. Let's now see Shulchan Aruch. Let's take Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch brings it Le'yom Kippurim Novin Shomer Shatz. That's number 5. Novin Shomer Shatz V'yishiva Shomala V'yishiva Shomata V'yat HaMakom V'yat HaKahal Anu Matenu Mitvalim Na'var Yonim V'novin Shomerim Kol Nidra. Okay? So then the Mishnah Brura, which we're not going to go into, was considered one of the major poskim of our generation. For our generation, it's getting one of the major poskim, says, brings in Rabbeinu Tam's objections, and he says, we're no Rabbeinu Tam. Essentially what he's saying is that what's the function of kol nidre? Not to be matir neder, but as a t'nai for future neder. The Aruch HaShulchan, again, it's here, I'm going to say it out. Say it out of the text, and I want to move on. Aruch HaShulchan totally disagrees. He says, you know, Rabbi Nachman was good when there was a debate whether you should say kol nidre, or you shouldn't say kol nidre. And the minute of kol nidre was not widespread. Now look at the line that I underlined. Hichan sha'ata hi nuscha kfua. But since now everybody says kol nidre, Ashkenazim, Sfaradim, Kurdistani, everybody says kol nidre, without exception. Lo shayach shekha. What's this concept? I forgot. What do you forgot? Everybody knows you say kol nidre. Incha lo shayach shekha kaze v'irak tefillah. He has a whole different twist on it. He says, now that everybody says kol nidre, you did argue that you forgot that you made this t'nai is not good. You obviously remembered your time, you made the neder anyway. So what's the purpose of kol nidre? It's only a tefillah. It goes back. Mm-hmm. There's an argument. It's only a tefillah.
That only applies in the case where the neder comes from saying that you take a neder. That doesn't apply to the case where you assume the responsibility for doing something.
Let me just put it this way. The question is the Aruch HaShulchan's presumption correct or not correct? Is it correct or not correct? I would argue that it's certainly not correct if you did something three times and you didn't realize you were doing it. You know, I started saying Tehillim. That's a classic. I started saying Tehillim. I didn't think that I was taking a neder, and all of a sudden I discovered, you know, I forgot all about it and I didn't. And then clearly kol nidre works on that. I mean, minig is to go ahead and do hataras nedarim, go to the court, because we're very careful about nedarim. Okay, but I would clearly say the Aruch HaShulchan can't tell me that I should have remembered. I should have remembered. It happens all the time. I did a mitzvah three times without thinking, and I didn't think there was a neder. It didn't occur to me there was a neder. It happens to us all the time. And all of a sudden, I did this three times. So that clearly kol nidre works. He's talking about clearly where I said I took a neder. I made a neder. So he says, you can't say I forgot kol nidre, right? Make the neder. Everybody knows kol nidre. That's his argument. However, the consensus of poskim is not the Aruch HaShulchan. The consensus of modern day poskim, from the Shulchan Aruch down, is that kol nidre does nothing. It's a tefillah. It's a taras nedarim. It's a hodah. It's everything. You have all these problems that Rabbi Natan has. So we try to solve them. We try to solve them in some way. For instance, what do you ask? There's no court. Well, we set up a court. We make sure there are three people on the bima, three men, because they need a court, male court there, because it's not monetary matters. It's a sex ceremonial, ceremony court. There has to be three men. And what we simply say is that they three are a court, being matir neder for everybody else. Hey, what about those three? So we say, some say, make sure that they say Hatar and Nadarim in a bona fide fashion, or we're the court for them. We're the court for them. That doesn't rest too easily, but.
It's not.
Yeah.
Not actually.
So Hatar and Nadarim,
you say.
Yes, you need a Bezdin. You need a Bezdin because you have to publicize it. You need the court to publicize it. You're asking me a good point here. The din is, I think, almost, yes, you need a court. You need a court to publicize it. And the court, you need to publicize it. But again, court can be mishpacha, it's not that sort of situation. And in fact, when Harari deals with it, look at the last line he says here. Right? Number 7, the yesh ladat shekol nidre eno tfila opiyut. Okay? Ella tochnohu bitul fatarat nedarim. It's bitul in the future, natarat nedarim for the past, and that's why we say in Nusach, the Nusach in Eretz Israel is Yom Kippurim Shavar, Ad Yom Kippurim Zeh, Yom Kippurim Zeh, Ad Yom Kippurim. Your first part is what hatarat nedarim. The second part is the bitul in the future. Now look at the bottom, at the bottom of two here, and he goes. Remember, I told you, even though he saw that Ruki Yosef said it was a prayer. Look at the last line, amnam. The next to last line. Amnam lefi mashakatvu aposkim shavenu leel. The previous paragraph. Nir'e desvirlu du mamash atarat nedarim al avar utnai al nedari lati. That's the bottom line. The Harari says it's not a tefila, rather it's both atarat nedarim and bitul nedarim. Despite what Rav Harari says, okay, if you go out and ask somebody, why are you so makpid to do atarat nedarim, Rav Russian? After all, this is. Right? After all, you did Kol Nidre. So a little hem and haw the way I did last week. Because you know that those days I was at Tefillah, and there's still problems, there are a lot of problems with it. Okay? If you say it the way we say it, it's certainly a Tanai for the future, which solves most of the problems anyway. Because you don't have to worry about Hatar Nidre if you made a Tanai the previous year, that it's not really Nidre. Now, there's one other problem that you should know. I have a text here, which you can read at your leisure if you like. And I'm sure that in the art school it's actually translated into English. I just want a text of a real Hatarat Nedarim, the way it's done. And the first part is that you nullify all the vows, and the second part, then the court says, we forgive you, and then the last part is he makes a statement for the future. That's what the last paragraph is. And you read through the text, you'll see, I don't have time, I move on. However, by the way, the part that I mentioned here with the line is where he says, and it includes even those cases of something I did three times, I missed it three times, and I didn't say believe. Now, on the very top of the text, it says, Mashinoagim batarat nedarim lamar. That statement that we each make in atarat nedarim, we say as follows: Afshe mitzar adim, hamafakesh atarat tzarich lefrosh neder. In the part of the satarat nedarim, I come to the court and I said, look, I made all sorts of nedarim, and I don't know what they are. I'm asking the court to nullify them. And I say, and then I make the statement: Afshe mitzar adim, hamafakesh atarat tzarich lefrosh neder. Even though when you come from Shat Nedarim, you have to specify what the neder was. It says, I can't specify because I don't know what they are. There are too many, I don't know what they are. So that statement, look what it says. That statement, that talks about Nedarim that you forgot. But Nedarim that you forgot. V'zocher otah. V'tzarich la'tirat. Tzarich l'frosh ha'neder. The reason why I bring this is that even if Kol Nidre works, it's my as people, that's for Nidarim that you don't know about. But if you took a Nidre, right, the Nidre says, I take an oath, I'm not going to put sugar in my coffee because I want to go on a diet. Right? And you take it as an oath. The wet tar says, Kol Nidre doesn't work.
I would say
Kol Nidre probably works. She probably didn't mean it as an oath, as far as I expect. And by the word, laws of oaths, you go by what your intention is. That's an expression. Right? That's an expression. But you have to be careful. Jews never took oaths lightly. And the fact that even though we have Kol Nidre, the custom among the men folk is to go ahead and do Atarat Nedarim Erev Rosh Hashanah is because we do it again and again and again. And Jews are very careful not to take God's name in vain, and never to use God's name certainly not in a curse or an oath or something like that. It was taken very, very seriously.
Do this, do later, and then
They say gneder.
All these things doesn't all have to be spoken. If kavanah, what's important?
It's a good question. I don't know enough about oaths. I don't think oaths. I think oaths have to be verbalized. I don't think it's a good thing to yourself. I'm not sure. I don't think so.
So just doing something three times, doesn't make sense.
No, doing something three times.
Well,
automatically makes it. Doing a good thing.
Good thing.
Yeah.
But
listen, I can now, after I submit that statement, I know it can ask me 1,000 questions and I won't know the answer. What does it mean? I do something, you know, I know three times. What does it mean? I do something three times. It means I do a divine mitzvah three times. You know, I mean, does it mean if I give stucca three times, I have to give stucca? No, the answer is yes, you know, but I don't need an oath. I'm already sworn from Sinai to give stucca. Right? Maybe if you say, I give stucca every time before I light candles.
You give stucca in the word Sinai.
That,
then,
well, I think giving stucca in the word Sinai, as you can download, that isn't, that would seem to be a neder, sure. Yeah, if you forgot, you're honest, but then combed it with. See, now that's a problem. That's not such a trivial problem.
No, I didn't think so.
Because when you if I say I'm going to take a neder, and I'm going to do it, and you say, well, what about combed it with? I'm going to do it anyway. See, that might be a real neder. See, now I go ahead and I say to you, now that we've all heard this, I'm sure next time you do something like this repetitively, you're going to say, well, kol nidre, should it count or shouldn't it count? So I suggest to you to keep saying yourself, believe it. Right? Yeah. You have to be careful about these things. Okay?
Right.
No, nobody else can take it off. That's why most texts now say Bavush Nadav Bulina. The people over say Bavush Nadav Bulina. Bavush Nadav Bulina.
They didn't say
it. Look, I'm not an expert in oaths. Not an expert in oaths. And if you're careful, I mean, but with minimum care, you're, most of the problems are solved. We have institutionalized with Kol Nidre and with Atar Nadar and Bulina there. We've institutionalized protection from oaths.
There's an extra a custom that anything you say Shabbat, which actually feel Shabbat,
then Shabbat's
not a Shabbat.
But
when you say it on Shabbat, something that it would be feel Shabbat, yeah. You have to say, Renee the Shabbat, I'm going to cook such and such.
I've heard. In the Shabbos. The Shabbos.
Oh, but this is the same thing.
No, does anybody know what the Shabbos is? Yeah. So let me tell you a joke. two men are sitting in shul. Listen to Kriyas of Torah. Ben Gavra and Gavra, they're between Kriyas. And one guy says, in the Shabbos, give it. You're still selling your Honda? This is the same joke. Still selling your Honda? And the guy says, the Shabbos, Torah. Yes, no, I am. The Shabbos Kibbet, how much do you want for your Honda? Well, the Shabbos Kibbet, I get called up for Torah. I'll come back and I'll tell you. In fact, he would have just only because back and says, No, the Shabbos Kibbet, how much do you want for your Honda? The Shabbos Kibbet has already been sold. No, the Shabbos Kibbet is not halakhic. Saying the Shabbos Kibbet only makes you feel better. No, but the neder means what I'm saying, even though I'm using a language which is forceful and sounds, and I'm committing myself, it's not a language of oath, it's a language of commitment. I'm going to do my best.
But the neder Shabbos is something that is like selling your
Honda. Nishab, but I like it, I don't think it has any mistakes.
What about the problem
with
the
Okay, so the first of all, if you look in halacha, it says you should start it before. In fact, if you look at the shul's calendar, we tend to start it 10 minutes before shkia. Of course, nobody shows up on time, and the Torah's going around. The answer is, Okay, the postal development, and that, as I hinted to before, the Easter, it's usher to do it at night. Because courts don't normally sit at night. However, courts don't sit at night usually to judge life and death matters, to judge money matters. You're allowed to do a Torah Nedarim on Yom Kippur if it's relevant to Yom Kippur. If a person says, I'm not going to eat meat, he wants to be Matir Neder, so he can eat meat on Yom Kippur. So since it's relevant to Yom Kippur, and simple Yom Kippur, we're Matir Neder and Yom Kippur. So they argue Yom Kippur to be Matir Neder so I can have Kapara. That's it, that's Torah Yom Kippur. That was the other thing. Okay. Yes? It's bar mitzvah three times. So, but since it's a good act, it's a mitzvah action, your repetition creates a chazakah that comes out. It even says it in the text of the Atarat Nadarim, that's what I signed here. Bein kol neder, bein kol nedava, bein shum minhag shel mitzvah, shenahagti. It asks me, right? Shinadati, it says, Oh, Eza Hanhaga Tova, Oh, Eza Davab Tov Shinahati Shalosh Pamim, Velo It Neti Shiabli Neder. Allah assumes that if you do a good act repetitively three times, you're expressing commitment to continue to pray. Just don't do good things. That's all. Just say, look, it's for things like this that Kol Nidre works best. That's it. That's the major problem. You don't go around taking oaths, and generally. And even if you took, according to most poskim, even Kol Nidre works for that too, if you didn't remember Kol Nidre.
And within what kind of a time frame does it matter? If you do one thing,
I don't think
you
get one when you're 20.
Do it again, and do it again,
right? That's really nice. I'm not an expert in oaths, but I would say, you know, you do it on a regular basis. Every year it's like, you time it, there's a fixed period. That makes sense. There's a connectivity to the action of repetition. Okay, let's get back to that. Okay, that's what we're starting on. Let's repeat what we learned last week. Okay, it took a time. I think it's very fascinating, and it's not right on. Although it's related to the topic, since I did so much research on the subject, I decided, because it was really bothering me, because I really didn't understand Kol Nidre as well as I should have. And I think now we have a better understanding that Kol Nidre is really a combination of all three. There are all these elements. It's an element of prayer. I think it's the element of prayer that most of us strike home. It's sort of this resonating that I'm starting off, I want to start off with a clean slate, and I want to get all these Nadarim, all these commitments off. And okay. But you remember, it's only between you and God. Between you and man, only you and man can solve those oaths. Okay? And it's also, you know, I thought Nadarim for the past, but in most post-game, certainly a Nadar for the Atid. And I think it's interesting.
Are you
because men, I think, somehow related to sort of this. Tarnit Dharm is usually done in shul. They do it in shul, and they do it right after davening, you know, right before Rosh Hashanah, the Erev Rosh Hashanah, they come to shul, they say Slichot, and they do a Tarnit Dharm. The reason why women didn't do it is because, I think, because there was Hatarnit, because there was Kol Nidre in line, to be honest with you. And the question is, why do men do a Tarnit Dharm even though they say Kol Nidre? I think the answer is because they want to cover as many bases as possible.
So
why don't women do it? The answer is that I know in many homes, the women do. They have, if they have the opportunity to be there with the court of three men, and they can be relatives. They don't have to be, you know, you can have any three men, they can do it. It's just that they don't do it.
Why
men? Because you need a court. Court for ceremonial things must be men. For monetary, depends on monetary. We'll talk about that. Yes?
Do it. Suppose you do make an edict, and you do what Taras and Dolan and everybody else does. You do the same with Shabbat.
You didn't make a bracha, you didn't. I don't remember, so I'm doing just in case. In that case, it's a tefillah. Okay. Let me just get some water. Let's go back now. What we did last week. Last week we noted that the Rambam, based on Sifri, okay, your Sifri is a material from the Mishneh period. The Sifri suggested on the verse, "Ulavdo b'chol levavchem," you serve God with all your heart. The prayer was indeed biblical. Okay, the prayer was biblical. But the Rambam takes this position literally. Prayer is biblical, but it's not fixed. So the Rambam, even if prayer is biblical, the Rambam says it has to be once a day, and you have to have the elements of shevach, bakasha, hodaya, praise to God, request of God, thanks to God. But the exact text was fluctuant. And everybody prayed what they wanted to, when they wanted. Came the period of the return to Eretz Yisrael and Beit Shem, and what did Ezra do? Ezra set up a regular system, says the Rambam, of prayers. You pray three times a day, and this is the text you say, so that everybody could pray prayer, because prayer in its essence is a mitzvah asay. Shalom is my grandma, because when the Torah obligated prayer, it didn't say when to do it, how to do it. It said pray. You gotta pray once a day. So therefore, women are obligated in prayer, just like men. Remember this. The Rambam says women are obligated in prayer, because prayer is a positive commandment which is not defined to turn. Because that will be a very crucial thing. However, the Ramban takes issue with the Rambam. Let's now take out the Rambam here. Let's see what the Rambam says. We're reading the Rambam in the Kesef Mishnah. The Kesef Mishnah. The Kesef Mishnah was written by Rabbi Yosef Karo, the author of the Shulchan Aruch. Essentially, before he wrote his major text, which was the Beit Yosef, the commentary on the Torah. He wrote a commentary to the Rambam, because Rambam was one of the fellows. He wanted to make sure he knew the Rambam code. And he wrote a commentary to the Rambam, in which he attempts to explain all the Rambam sources, because the Rambam gave you straight halacha, didn't give you the sources. So he goes through, in an almost encyclopedic fashion, showing what the source of the Rambam is, mentioning other views that disagree with the Rambam. And then Rabbi Yosef Karo wrote a commentary to another pillar of Jewish law, which was the Torah, and a book that was even more complete called the Beit Yosef. And then he worked on that for about 12 years. And then, almost as an afterthought, he said, wouldn't it be a good idea if I digested just the bottom line? And he just took out the bottom line and he called that the Setebo, Shulchan Aruch. But the Shulchan Aruch was an afterthought. Okay, it was a culmination of a career of writing commentaries on major legal texts. Okay, so now Rabbi Yosef Karo writes, okay, look over here on this first page, Vida says, Sharamban Zal, he sig al Rabbeinu. The Ramban disagrees with the Rambam. The Masha Katav, Shatfila, Yimitzvat Asim and Atova. Shekfar be'aru chachamim, because the chachamim already stated in the Gemara, tefillah midrabbanan, the prayer is rabbinic in origin. Kamosha amru beperek gimel debrachot. And I'm not just going to give you a series of proofs, I want to read one or two of them. And the Gemara says in the third parak of brachot, le'inyan bal keri, the halacha was as follows, that one who, a male, who, now I'll explain to you the bal keri, I said, a male who had a nocturnal emission, or who slept with his wife. It's called a Baal Keri. The halacha is that the wife too is a Baalat Keri, because she too, after the sexual relations, there is semen coming out of her body as well. She's also called a Baalat Keri, even though the halacha doesn't really talk, the halacha does mention that. But usually talk about a male being a Baal Keri, but the woman has the same thing. The halacha was, for a period short after Ezra, that Ezra instituted that a Baal Keri, okay, could not say, could not daven until he went to, he had needed Tisha Kavim. He needed, it was a measure of water, either went to the mikvah or Tisha Kavim, which was a sum of water poured on him all at one time. It's like a cold shower. In this particular case, it could have been hot as well. Okay, but it had to be some of water. A shower was effective. Okay? Now, clearly in our day, it's trivial. In their day, where they didn't have showers, it could have been a problem. They didn't have that much water, or certainly didn't have an arrangement. If he didn't go to the mikvah, he couldn't daven. He could not, as a Baal Keri, daven. Now, eventually, this was one of the gzeirah that Ezra instituted for additional purity. And to get the people used to purity, the Gemara says that this is an gzeirah that Tzibur could not take. They didn't take it. And it never took hold, and was eventually became nullified. But there are a lot of laws on the books which stem from that period of the, where this law was on the books. This is the early formative years of the Mishnah, and we learn many interesting halachot from this din of Baal Keri, even though it's not relevant anymore.
Do you mean that he didn't daven for himself?
He didn't daven. He simply could not. Well, we're going to talk about this. What's the problem? How could he not daven? The Rambam says it's going to be done. How could this, right? That's going to be the attack. You see, I'm just setting you up for the attack. Right. So let's go see. Okay? Amru Bepera Gimel de Brachot, Ninyan Baal Keri. The Gemara says that a Baal Keri, Shekore Kriyat Shema, that he does read Kriyat Shema, Umavarech al Amazon, and he says Birkat Amazon, Ve'eno Mitpalel, but he doesn't daven. Ve'helu Atam, what was the reason the Gemara gave for these distinctions? Kriyat Shema, Birkat Amazon, Doraita, Tfilah de Rabbanan. So what's the question? How do you say, see, he says, according to you, Rambam, he shouldn't daven. He shouldn't daven at all. According to you, he's got to daven. Because davening is doraita. He doesn't have to shmur esrei, he doesn't, but he's got to say something. How does the Gemara say, you don't daven? A Baal Keri doesn't daven. So it proves that it's not doraita. Skip down. Where the next bracket is. The Gamza in a Nachon Beinai, Shabal Kevi Mavarech al Mazon Lacharav, the Bneshum in a Torah, Beinu Mitpalel, Achi Bo. Afilu Amma Kama Yamin the Kevi. I mean, even he goes on 3 or 4 days, he didn't find water. It means he's not going to daven, according to you. How could he not daven? It's Doraita. The old Shemishan and Nasvalu Mitpalel, the Shachletu Mincha. One who was honest, he was sick, he was unconscious. And he didn't daven shachrit and mincha. Nistapek imit palel. Right? I'm sorry. But for example, mishin nenas, but lo it palel b'shachrit. I'm sorry. Mishin nenas lo it palel. He didn't daven shachrit. He woke up late. He was unconscious. Ube mincha nistapek imit palel. And by mincha, he was besafek whether he davened or not. He doesn't remember. He's coming out of the coma. He doesn't remember. Did he daven mincha? Didn't he daven mincha? The feed varav shel rav, according to the Rambam, hayatzarich lazor lepaleh. He should go back and daven if he's besafek. Why? Because safek doraita lechumra. If you're in doubt whether you daven it, but do the biblical matter, you should repeat. Vehein pasku. But in the Gemara says lo'olam bechol safek tefila she'en echozor lepaleh. That you don't go back if you're in doubt whether I find in doubt whether I daven mincha or not. The halacha is, I'm not chayv to go back. I'm not chayv to go back. Why? Because she doesn't answer. Now, halacha, and this will be relevant. La'alacha, in a case like that where I didn't, don't know whether I davened or not, la'alacha states you can do what's called a tefillah mitzvah. You can get up and say, I may not be chayav, but I want to daven an extra prayer to Kadosh Baruch Hu. Because there are concepts called korbanot mitzvah. I want to come and I want to make a korban mitzvah. Since prayer is against korbanot, I can go, I can just like make korban mitzvah, I can give a tefillah mitzvah. Now, you probably never heard of it, because it's rarely done. Because the post can say, what do you want, a big tzaddik, you want to daven an extra davening as mitzvah? Have kavana in the three prayers that you're obligated to do. Don't give me this nedugah business. So that's the poskim nowadays are very much against tefillah nedugah. Pray, have kavana in the three prayers. But in cases where you're in doubt, whether you're up, whether you davened or not, the halacha says, mitzad din, you're not chayav, because safek da'abanam nekula. But you can go ahead and daven a tefillah nedugah. And what you say is, before you daven, say, if I'm chayev, then that's tefillat mincha. And if I'm not chayev, it's a nedavah.
But is that not totally for what people do?
No, because Chazal instituted it. In fact, there's a position, I think it's Ula, and I really should know when I read it. I think it's Ula said, V'halavai shipal adam kol hayom kula. Only a person should daven the whole day long, right? Now, this statement I just made to you is very important. The statement of, I think it's Ula, but I'll check it. Is very, very important as a concept that really, even if you're not obligated to pray, you should pray. Okay, we'll talk about this a little bit more. Let's continue. V'im einam mitzvah, okay, now. So we're now on the second long line. You with me? So the first attack of the Ramban on the Rambam was what? According to you, how do they say suffix that if you didn't daven, you don't have to daven? What do you mean you don't have to daven? It's the right time. Or how did Balkari get out of it? Because Rambam, it's the right time. Okay. Now, then he has another attack. The aim of mitzvah, the chol yom, מתי תהיה חובה הזאת המוטלת עלינו מן התורה? שיפלל יום אחד בשנה, או בכל יום, ימיו פעם אחת. I mentioned this. He reminds us, how do I know where you have to die when you have to die? אלא ודאי כל עניין התפילה אין החובה. He says, I remember all this. It's not obligatory. ומה שקדשו בספרי, ולבדו זו תפילה, and that which the Sifri says, love, to serve God with all your heart, zo asmachta. It's merely an example of a mnemonic device. We talked about this, that the rabbis, since the oral tradition, whether it's biblical or rabbinic, was passed down orally, the Chazal looked in the text for mnemonic devices to remind us of even rabbinic institutions. So they used this verse, l'avdo b'chol levavka, which, according to Ramban, means serve God with your whole being. Right? Okay, and Chazal said, what do you mean? Serve God with your whole being? Oh, that refers to davening. That's not what the pasuk says. When we say, l'ahavat Hashem b'chol levavchem b'chol levavchem, love your God b'chol levavchem. What does that mean, b'chol levavchem? Right? It means with your whole being. Chazal said, even, right? With your whole being. That's what it means. Okay? So Chazal used this, says the Ramban, as a mnemonic device to remind me of the institution of prayer. But that's not what the pasuk means. Okay.
But that. How would the Rambam answer the Rambam?
You have patience. The Kesef Mishnah will do it first. The Rabbeinu, Shem Mitzvah Esei, Min HaTorah Lepalel B'chol Yom. Now, that was the answer. Now, the Dat Rabbeinu is now the Kesef Mishnah answering all the attacks of the Rambam. ודעת רבינו שמצוות עשה מן התורה להתפלל בכל יום ממה שכתב ועבדתם את השם ועבודה זאת צריך שתהיה בכל יום it has to be every day why? שאין לה בכל יום אולי נבוא לומר שהיא פעם אחת בכל ימיו because then it will lead us out of absurdum to say you got to pray once in a lifetime he says that can't be So it has to be logically, it has to be once a day. The zemim mashalo is belu hadat. He says it doesn't make sense. In kein akar chachivu itpalot b'chol yom, aval ein minyan tefilot min haTorah ela pam achat b'yom zayin. But the number is not obligatory. Once a day is enough. Okay, skip down to the next bracket. Okay, line and a half. Umiyata mashamu b'bal kevi. Now he's answering the question, what about this Balkeri who doesn't daven at all? Mashamu b'Balkeri, sheinu mitpalel. Hayinu sheinu mitpalel tefilah zo benusach zeh shalosh pamim. What do I mean he doesn't daven? You have to understand. In halacha, the word, and we'll come to this, it's very important. The word tefilah means what? Saying Shmon Esrei. So when the halacha says, says the Kesa Mishnah, when the Gemara said that a Balkari lo mitpalel, it doesn't mean he doesn't daven in the general sense. It means lo mitpalel in the halachic sense. You don't say Shmon Esrei. That's how the Rambam understands the Gemara. Right? He doesn't say this text three times a day. But he does have to fill the biblical obligation. So he says some short prayer. Okay? And the same thing he says, if you're in doubt, you don't repeat Shemon Esrei, but you have to say some minimal prayer. Okay? That's what he says. And he goes on, he says, when the Gemara says later that if you're in doubt, suffer to a bundle of hakel, that's right. You don't have to repeat Shemon Esrei again. But if you're in doubt, you have to say some small prayer. That's what the Rambam means. He learns that when the Gemara says, Eino mitpalel, it means Shemon Esrei. But if you're afraid, you have to write it, you have to. Okay. Let me just see this. Okay. Now, yeah, I just wanted to mention one last point. Okay, we'll finish. I just mentioned one last point, that is, the Rambam mentioned that Ma'ariv is not obligatory. The Arvit, the Shemon Esrei of Arvit is not obligatory. Kriya Shema is, because it says B'shachwa Kumecha. But the Ma'ariv prayer itself is not obligatory. But Klal Yisrael accept upon themselves as an obligation. Okay? Now when I say Klal Yisrael, okay, the Rambam, language of the Rambam is Kol Yisrael, accept upon themselves. The question is, in Halakha, when we said that statement, that the Klal Yisrael accepted the men folk of Klal Yisrael, or also the women folk of Klal Yisrael? We have to talk about this whole concept of women's obligation. We're still not into specifics. Now, what I'd like to do, with your permission, is use the last few minutes of the shir to go through the davening, because it's very important for us to be. I'm not going through the davening to teach you how to daven siddur. I'm going through the davening because I want to teach you the halachic breakdown of the davening. Make sure it's clear to you. Because in actuality, the davening is made up, what we call davening, is made up of a great many different parts which are linked together, and in many cases, the different parts have different laws. And we have to be careful of making distinctions between the different parts. I think it's best to view davening as a symphony. Anybody's taking a symphony? It's a symphony with a tuning up and an overture and an introduction to the first theme, and the presentation of the first theme, then a transition from the first theme into the second theme, and then you have a presentation of the second theme, and then you have sort of the
allegro.
And then you have get to work. So, and then you end off. And that's exactly how davening. It's really the same. And let's begin. We went through the morning. And we start, let's say, on page 23. The whole period, the whole thing in the beginning is the Birkat HaShachar. We're checking, my eyes open, am I walking, and I'm putting everything. And we're tuning up the instruments. Is everything functioning properly? And then I check up, and it's working nicely. Birkat HaShachar. Right? Okay, that's essentially, now these brachot These are a whole series of brachot. We'll talk about this more. They're called the Birkot Shachar. On page 15. You know, I don't know. When I went to the States, when you were young damsels in God, you learned Modan, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It really should be Modan. Right. Moda is male. Moda, it's really right. I mean, it's Yagakov, Evan points out many people. It's Moda.
That's why I'm
a big Moda Ani. Pafsareno, Shechatab de Pafsareno's Kla Yisrael. Moda Ani Lefanecha. Moda Anach, Modim Anach Lefanecha.
That's where I like the
No, it should be Moda. There's no question about it.
What?
No, it should be Moda. The feminine form. It really should be. Look, and Shalom Asani Goy, Shalom Asani Aved, right? You say, well, you say Goyal Shekai. Yeah, I don't, because Goy is a general term. Aved is a general term. So whether you say Goyal or Shekha, that you can argue about. But Moda?
Okay.
Israel now. There's no question about it. There's no question about it. Okay. And the same thing, by the way, in Elokai Neshama too, right?
Yeah.
Moda Ani Lefanecha, yes. Be happy to deal with the Shana. Not at 17 to 10. No, we'll deal with it. Shani gets enough because the bracha doesn't exist this month. We'll talk about it. Trust me. Me and Shalabat alone, he got a long. The bracha is totally misunderstood. We'll talk about it. Okay. So but there's the Birkot HaShachar. There's has its own rules about when it can be said. When we get to Birkot HaShachar, we'll talk about it. It can be said until the question can be said all day long. Because these are brachot, they're not necessarily morning brachot. These are brachot that talk about how I function all day long. Right?
You're going to cry and if you end up talking in the morning,
they're going to. Okay. The Birkot HaShachar should be said before noon. Okay? But many, many poskim hold they can be said all day long. Okay? Because these are brachot, they're talking about my functioning all day long. Okay? Yeah. And so it's very important to know, in Ovad Yosef, there's a whole discussion about an onane. You know, a person who's a funeral, I mean, who's a deceased, when the Sheva Kuru Kovin, and suppose, and he doesn't daven, or she doesn't daven, and now the funeral's done at 1 o'clock in the afternoon. Do they see Birkot HaShachar? Okay, do they see Birkot HaShachar? Many persons say no, because say, you lost it. After 12, you can't say. And the Lagon and Obadi Saifah, you can say it all day long. Because these are brachot that said all day long. And there's a discussion, I don't want to go into all the discussion, but so these brachot can be said, for most post game, with the event all day long. But, we're definitely chayav, because we'll talk about this, when we get it, I'm going to deal with it. I just want to get it. Okay, now, then after the Birkot HaShachar, there is a section called Korbanot. And this section of Korbanot, were introduced in this tuning up section to remind us that our prayers are in the place of Korbanot. But originally there were the Korbanot, and that's how traditionally one reached out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And then Ezra came along and set up the prayer system so that people would have more personal involvement. It was educational as well. I'm pretty sure that when the third Beit HaMikdash was built, it continued davening because it was such a good idea. And the Dabin by Cheney, there was a shul, there was a temple, there was a shul out of the Temple Mount itself. Okay, now we begin the overture. The overture is where, what's the overture? The overture is where we start, we're not really doing the major symphony, we're just sort of singing before we sing. That's Psukah de Zimra.
I'm singing.
Psukah de Zimra. Psukah de Zimra formally begins with Baruch Shammah. Okay? Now, Baruch Shammah is a bracha which begins and ends with a baruch. And actually, on page 42, you see the indentation. The Baruch Shammah Vayah Baruch Hu Baruch. That's all an introduction. The bracha begins, Baruch Atah Shalom Kevacham, Kekela Avraham Mulot Pafi, right? And ends, Mel Mulot Patishpacha. So, Psukah de Zimra begins with the bracha. And then you have all these the halalukas and everything. What? You go through the whole davening, right? And so you finally get to Yishtabach. Yishtabach is on page 57, and that's the end. That's the end of Sefer Zimra. It ends with a bracha. Okay. Now the Rambam. Well, other noted that there was a custom on Shabbos and you had more time to say more Tehillim. The question is, where did you put the Tehillim? Where did you put the extra Tehillim? So this Ashkenazim said, you put the other 12 in the first 12 Tehillim you say. You start the Baruch Shamar, you say more Tehillim, stick in the extra Tehillim on Shabbos, and then you finish off with the regular Tehillim. The Sfardim say no. You leave the regular format, and you want to say extra Tehillim, you say it before Baruch Shammah. And that's why they say all the Shabbos Psukah de Zimra before Baruch Shammah. Okay? And Shabbos also, Yishtabach is extended a little bit longer. We start with Mishmat. Okay? And it's a little longer bracha. Okay, there's a big to-do in the poskim, essentially it's a machloket, how to understand a Rambam, whether Yishtabach starts with Mishmat on Shabbos, or Yishtabach is Yishtabach. We just have a little longer introduction to Yishtabach. What's the difference? Because the halacha is if you come in late to shul, okay, and I'll talk about women and men, it's because the rules are different. Okay? But I'm just saying what a man should do. But when a woman comes late to shul and she sees that, and the people see, if you see that they're getting close, the halacha is you're supposed to skip because you want to daven Shmon Esrei with the tzibur. The rules about what you skip depends on what you're obligated. Okay? And if I say men are obligated in Psukah de Zimra, or women are not obligated in Psukah de Zimra, then they have a difference about what you can skip. Okay? And how, what are the priorities and the like. In any case, the halacha, if a woman walks in late and she sees that they're getting close to Psukah de Zimra, to Shmon Esrei, she should say Birkot HaShachar and skip straight to Shmon Esrei. And say Shmon Esrei with the Tzibur. A man can't do that. A man has to say Kriya Shema, and he has to say Birkot Kriya Shema, and there are whole different rules. We'll get to it. The rules are different based on what you're obligated. Anyway, the halacha is you have to, a man should preferably say Baruch Shamar Ashrei Yishtabach. In Psukah de Zimra. Those are the basics. Bracha before, bracha after, and one capital in the middle. So you say Asher, which is considered the most important. On Shabbos, what do you say? Do you say Baruch Shomer Ashrei Nishmat? It is the Yishtabach on Shabbos stop with Nishmat, which means you have to say Nishmat, right? Which is what a Waldenberg says. Or do you say, no, Nishmat is just a poetic introduction to Yishtabach. But even on Shabbos, you say Baruch Shomer Ashrei Nishmat. Which is the way of Adi Yosef Paschus. There's a machlokes. Okay, but in any case, that's Psukah de Zimra. Psukah de Zimra should therefore be said up to 4 hours in the day, 4 relative hours in the day. It can be said until noontime if necessary. Okay? Now we have the introduction to the major thing. The two major things are Kriyat Shema and Shmon Esrei. Now, in these two, the introduction, two Kriyat Shema has two brachot before it. Two brachot. The first bracha deals with day things. Creation of light, Yotzer Orov, Orech Hoshech. Creation of the constellation, the creation of Asamaka. Now, smack in the middle of this daylight themes, smack in the middle, we talk about the angels giving praise to Kali. That was by saying, holy, holy, holy. Kadosh, kadosh, kadosh. It was done on purpose because it was an attempt to tell everybody, he's the sun and the stars, the constellations, they're at the hand of God. And just as the angels give, just as the constellations give praise to Hashem, the whole world gives praise to Hashem. God gives praise. And we give praise to Hashem. So that's why the Kadosh Kadosh is put in there. To tie up the whole creation with the whole creation. So it talks about creation of life. The whole creation is based on Kadosh Baruch Hu. Right? And then page 60. Everybody gives praise to Kadosh Baruch Hu. That's the first thing. It talks about creation of life. It talks about creation. The second thing is love. That God loves us. Which is the natural transition into Kriya Shema, which says, we love God. Okay? We love God. And in describing this love, which is the major thing, the first thing is love. So the introduction to the theme of love is, God loves us, then the major thing, we love God. And we love God by accepting upon ourselves the full Malchut Shemayim, the divine yoke. That is Shema Yisrael. The second verse is, we accept upon ourselves the yoke of mitzvot. And then Vayomer, the third verse, Chazal Peh, because it talks about two things. It's a neat transition from talking about this yoke of mitzvot to a specific mitzvah, which is tzitzit. It's this mitzvah, which is the mantis kruat kol mitzvot ha'ai. It's a mitzvah, which is a reminder of all the mitzvot. Then it ends with Ani Hashem Elokeichem Asher Hotzeiti Etchem Me'aretz Mitzrayim. It's a the verse naturally, Vayomer, moves into what? The historical redemption. And that is the that leads us into the second transition. Very beautiful. Okay, so remember we have the yoke of heaven, yoke of mitzvot, a specific mitzvah which naturally leads us into the historical redemption. Ani Hashem Elokeichem Asher Hotzeiti Etchem Me'aretz Mitzrayim. Why is that a neat? Because the transition picks up this theme of historical redemption. And that is the transition into the second major theme, which is what? Personal redemption. So we have to talk about, you know, God has saved Klal Yisrael throughout the generations. Now I say, God, save me. Right? Save me. We also talk about save us. But now, don't talk about history. Now, personal redemption. And that's why the Chazal had a concept of called Smichat Gula L'Tfilah. You have to, once you say Kriya Shema, you have to do this. Men have to say Kriya Shema and do it. Had to go from the beginning to the Kriya Shema and then go into Shemot Esrei. Because I need this flow of the major, two major things. As you're going to see, women are not out the beginning of Kriya Shema, but they should definitely say, because it's a mitzvah of Seshah's Melech. And then also not obligated in the Birkot Kriya Shema. And therefore, since they're obligated in Birkot Kriya Shema, they're probably not obligated in Smichat Gula or Tefillah. That depends on whether they're obligated to remember Yitzhak Mitzrayim. We'll talk about that. I forgot to mention, of course, that there is a second, I mentioned it in the last week, that there's a special obligation to remember Yitzhak Mitzrayim morning and night. And I talked about whether women are obligated. And that has relevance about how I juggle the things that women are obligated. All right. Now we move into the major thing, which is Shemot Esrei. And after Shemot Esrei, we have a couple of what are called Tchinot, additions after the Shemot Esrei. Okay? What are the Tchinot after the Shemot Esrei? I'm fasting to say Avinu Malkeinu. There's a section called Tachanun. These are all added prayers that were added in the Gaonic period. Beautiful, beautiful statements. We talk about Nefilat Apayim. Essentially, in the time of the, on page 88, I was really amazed. I've given shiurim in camps, summer camps, co-ed summer camps. And when it came, since women don't normally go to shul, they don't know what to do. a tachna. Now, in the good old days, in the time of the Amorai, they used to go prosecute. They used to do hashtakabaya and just pour out the heart in front of God. This was time for personal prayer. We just pour it out. Nowadays, since we don't fall prostrate except for Yom Kippur, Russian Yom Kippur, we now have the custom of falling on our hand, sitting down, or there, like this, to cover our face. And men who work fall on their left hand, the righties, during the morning, fall on their right hand. Okay? And that's how they, for this section, which is on page 88, it says, Nefilat Tefayim, Yom Kippur, till Yavosha Rabba, you'll see men falling on their arm. Okay? And it's a sort of a hint to falling prostrate. Prostrate. That's also a problem. Okay.
I understand
that
you
don't.
I understand that you
don't. Seven days that happens. Normal Saturdays. And then you say, then at the end, there's Ashrei, there's Uvalatziyahu, which is a little bit of learning, and then Aleinu, and the Yom. Okay. Now, let me just skip, we'll do this quickly. On Shabbat, the only major change is that we say a little more of the Zimra. We add a little bit Keladon and the Shacharei. The Shmoneh Esrei itself doesn't have all these, you know, God do this, God do that. You don't ask for things on Shabbos. You have to get God give me peace, give me happiness, give me menucha. On Shabbos, you don't talk about these specific requests. You talk more Shabbos sort of things. Pretty good things. Now, for menucha, you just have Shmoneh Esrei on page 143. Mincha, you just have Shmon Esrei, with an Ashrei before. Because you can't come to God, just walk into God's house. And that's sort of warm up a little bit. You do a minimal warm up, you say Ashrei, and then, okay, but there's only one thing at Shmon Esrei, page 143. Okay, now, let's go to Mariv again, you now have again two things. Why? Because you have the Shmon Esrei, and you have the Shema Kriyashma. Okay? And again, you have, before you say the Kriyashma, you have the two things again. Creation, and now it's creation on page 160. The creation with nine things. Right? I'm out of the Rabbim, talk about it, right? You have talk, then you're going to talk about love again. God loves us. Slightly different variation. Same idea. God loves us, then we love God. Okay? We go through the same stuff again. And then in 163, again, we do the historical redemption. Like we have the historical redemption. We move into the first redemption, which is on Shmoneh Esrei again. There's only one extra thing here. And there's Hashkivim. Because of the fact that night represents bad things. So defenselessness, the attack, I can't see what's around me. So we ask God, that's an extra bracha that was added to protect me from evil. And that's the extra bracha was added. And then there's Shmoneh Esrei. Let me just point out one last thing and I'll let you know. You notice, I don't know if you noticed, that in Shacharit, you say Gal Yisrael, right? And then you go straight into Shmoneh Esrei. Personal very strong redemption. At night, all of a sudden, there's a Chatzi Kaddish. Right? If you look at page 164, see there's a Chatzi Kaddish, there's an interruption. Why did they do that? That is, they did it because, remember, in origin, Shmoneh Esrei didn't have to be said. Shmoneh Esrei was optional. It's true that Klal Yisrael accepted upon himself to say Shmoneh Esrei, but that's a personal oath that everybody, I have to be very careful when I use the word everybody. Okay, at least all the men accept upon themselves this obligation. But it's a personal obligation. It's not a communal obligation. That's why, as far as the davening is concerned, per se, it ends. It ends with a kaddish. Everybody goes on and says Shmoneh Esrei. You know that. But notice, in the morning, where everybody has an obligation to say Shmoneh Esrei, there's a Chazarat HaShatz in the morning. Why is there a Chazarat HaShatz? because you're obligated in Shemot Esrei. Chazal knew that everybody wasn't literate. They knew that everybody couldn't daven themselves, so they instituted a repetition for those who didn't know how to daven. Why didn't they do it at night? Because in origin, it wasn't an obligation. You have an obligation. Fine. It's your oath. It's a personal oath. You'll take care of it. We don't have a communal obligation to help you take care of it. You don't know. You're honest. What can I do? You're honest. We understand. You don't know how to daven. So they didn't obligate. That's why there are differences here. For instance, at nighttime, in many communities, we don't do it in the shul, but in many communities, they say, they say Shabbos, then they say Vishamru, then on Yerusha, they say Tikkun Bakot. They say certain verses here, which really related to the holidays. What? Oh, Baruch Hashem, Yehovah, Amen, Amen. They said that. The question about where that comes from, and they say there are 18 boroughs there. And the 18 boroughs hints to the Shemot Esrei, because they didn't say Shemot Esrei. Everybody left after davening there, and that was Shemot Esrei. You have a lot of extra things that go on here, and you have to remember that it comes from the fact that Shemot Esrei in its origin was optional. And therefore, it's very clear that when the poskim want to discuss how much women are obligated, one of the things that very quickly drops is that women are not obligated to marry, because if men are obligated. I don't want anybody to get this. But for instance, the halakha is as follows. If a man falls asleep, and you know he said Kriya Shema, but he didn't daven Maariv, you won't wake him up. If you know he hasn't daven Maariv at all, you'll wake him up. Because he's got to say Kriya Shema. But for Shemot Esrei, you don't wake him up. He's honest. No! He slept through it. There's nothing you can do about it. Okay? But Kriya Shema was a direct, he's got to say. Anyway, and I don't know. It's obligatory. All right. Now, starting next week, what we will do. We're not meeting for the next 3 weeks. Okay? And anybody who wasn't here tonight, please spread the word that next week. So
we'll 3 weeks?
3 weeks. You learn by yourself. You can review. No, actually, what we're going to do, just so you get an idea of what's going on. Starting from next week, we're going to start analyzing the Shemot Esrei. We start analyzing the davening, piece by piece. What women are obligated, what they aren't obligated. We're going to do it essentially backwards. We're going to start from Shemot Esrei, go back to Kriya Shema, go back to Birkat Shachar, and go backwards, because you'll see that's the logical way of doing it. Because yeah, that's much more.
After 3 weeks.
In 3 weeks. Right. Okay.
Thank you.